1967, we awoke. Awoke to the knowledge of the village. Now, 50 years on, we invite you, good citizens, to join us in celebrating the timeless topics, eloquent prose, and striking visuals of the iconic programme, The Prisoner.
Welcome to the Eternal Village Cast, a program of conversations with those who created, those who've contributed to the canon, and those who cherish the brilliant and influential program, The Prisoner. Orange alert! Orange alert! All citizens are notified to be warned that the following conversation may be alarming to some.
All right, David. We now are going to dare, I say dare, to engage in a conversation about something that it has been quite surprising to me. How our brothers and sisters in this community of the Prisoner fandom have been quite, if you will, rejecting and negative over the 2009 AMC six-part re-envisioning of The Prisoner, a program that was aired in the U.S. Here in the fall. When did it show in the U.K.? Was it also in the autumn of 2009?
No, that was April 2010.
So a little later. Okay, yeah. Got it. And part of the conversation we had before we got connected here across the lines is that you and I both find that show to be quite meritorious, to be very good in lots of reasons. True?
True.
Good. So let's see how we can explore this and why. You begin, because I've got opinions. Tell me why this show wasn't something that instantly made you as a Prisoner fan push away. What drew you to the performances and the program you saw?
I was drawn to the series through the ITV adverts.
Right.
For the series.
Right. But when it actually ran, when you sat down with favorite snacks in hand and you watched it, were you instantly drawn in, or were you watching it with a bit of a pre-critical eye? How did you envelop the show when you first watched it?
I was open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And what really grabbed me was Ian McKellen as Two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his lines. There's one line he has. See how the sun makes it all glow.
Yeah.
And he's so enthusiastic about the village.
Right. No. Go ahead.
And he has the best lines.
Yeah. When the show was airing in the UK, was it across sequential nights or weeks?
Oh, it was weeks.
Yeah, same here.
One episode per week.
Mm. For us, they put two. It was two each Sunday. So we were on the first airing, I saw the first two, a week later, another two. So I was able to see it in a little more condensed period. For me, I had heard about the show from, again, the same thing, promotions, that type of thing. And I was absolutely looking forward to it. Based on this, I believe that the creative output that people make first and foremost deserves respect, because it's so easy for people who are not in the industry to just be critical. But I always say, if you've never walked a mile in the writer's shoes or the filmmaker's shoes, you need to be cautious of the criticism you give, because you don't know how much work went into it. And what excited me was the information you could see here on the AMC network about where the show was filmed. It was filmed in Namibia. They actually took an entire crew of people, stars and technicians, and took them to one of the most desolate places on the planet. You know, they could have done this on a film lot. Of course they could have. But they made a commitment to do something unique because I believe the people that wrote and directed this cherished and thought of the prisoner as being unique. Did those images, did those locations, did they jump out to you as you started to watch the show?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They did. Especially, if I can pronounce this correct,
mm-hmm.
Swakopmund. I think that's a perfect setting yeah. for the village.
I do too. I do too. And it bothers me, and again, like I say, there's going to be a warning on this part of the episode. People can be upset. That's fine. What bothers me are the people who say, the prisoner is only in Port Marion, the prisoner is only in the village. Well, first of all, the prisoner was never set in Port Marion. The prisoner was in the village. So when people say the prisoner can only exist in Port Marion in Wales, right off the bat, they're wrong, because the prisoner didn't exist in our world. It existed in a fantasy world. So the idea of the new show being set anywhere else, I believe, is fine, because we also may find that this world has villages all over the globe. Maybe there is one still in Wales. Maybe there's one in Namibia. There could be one down the street in Mukilteo, Washington, for all I know, right? So that didn't throw me off that I wasn't seeing the same buildings I'd seen before. How did you feel about that contrast?
I wasn't bothered about it either. I embraced it.
Yeah.
Because Port Marion wasn't the original location of the village. Butlin's holiday camp was.
True. We were really talking about the transcendental, the basal of it. Yes, that's true.
If the prisoner had been originally filmed in Butlins, how long would it have survived?
About an episode and a half.
Right.
Yeah. One of the other criticisms that people give the show, and again, I don't understand this. They give the criticism that, well, there were six episodes. Why didn't we get six number two characters? That could have happened. But I also found it fascinating when you got the caliber of somebody like Ian McKellen, when you had that person, why would you not let them be the through line as number six in the program? Right?
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ian McKellen was perfect as two.
Mm-hmm.
There's that glorious scene in Arrival when 147 and his wife mm-hmm. are taken to number two's house and they get both given a medal.
Yeah.
And he said, did you bring that other thing? And you see a scene later on where he's just tucking into this cherry cake.
Yeah.
And he's got a fork and he digs out a whole cherry as if he's digging out an eyeball.
Right.
I think that's a marvelous scene.
Well, there were so many marvelous scenes, but I think that what you have, and I'm going to make this argument, if you take the first five episodes of the 2009-2010 series, they are a brilliant story. Where I find that in conversations with people, where they get so upset about the sixth episode, is that in that episode, we discover that number six, Jim Caviezel, has been doing a Wizard of Oz, moving characters from his real life into the village, ideally saying that this was an extrapolation or a dream. Okay?
Yep.
But I would make the same argument that the end of The Prisoner in 1967 with Fallout is exactly the same, because where does he end up at the end of the series? Exactly back in the real world, where these people who have been in the show now live inside the UK society he's a part of. Number two is part of the government. The butler is part of the general mass of population. The kid has gone back to live his life on the road. And where does number six go? Back to his house. So when people say that the ending of the new series was so wrong, I don't understand that lack of parallel, because the first series ended as either a dream or a circle, just like the second one did.
That's right. It did.
Yeah. So why, let's prop up our beers and scoot up our benches here at the pub. Why do you think some people, I mean, when I've posted on social media, little tiny things saying, I rewatched this episode and I thought it was great. And the vehemence that people write back and say, oh, it's shite. I don't like it. It's shite. Why are they so upset? Why do you think it bothers people so much that this remake happened?
Well, I think for the vast majority of fans, enthusiasts, and devotees to The Prisoner, that's it. You don't need anything else because you've got The Prisoner.
Right.
They don't look any further.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, ever since 1969, there has been talk about a remake. Since the 1980s, there's been talk about a film. Mm-hmm. There was much talk about Patrick McGoohan making a feature film. And fans would say, no, they must not make a film. They must not make a remake. We have The Prisoner. We don't need anything else.
Right.
And I know a few fans I was in contact with when it was first screened over here in 2010. You have to look at it with an open mind.
Great.
And I don't wish to insult anyone listening to this, but there are fans who looked at it with a closed mind.
Yes.
One particular fan switched off after half an hour and condemned the whole series on that. Another one condemned the series after watching a mere 10 minutes. Another fan wrote to me and said, I'm not watching that because it wasn't filmed in Port Merryn. And I said, come on, open your mind and think about this.
That's what I've heard over and over again, is just because of that geography. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But that gentleman, I write a blog about The Prisoner. And I started writing blog about the new series, praising it. And I sent some of these articles to this gentleman, and he spoke to me over the phone, and he said, you make this new series sound so exciting, I'm going to watch it again.
Right.
And now he likes it.
Yeah. And that's what I wish. That's what I so desperately wish, is that we as human beings, when we approach that which is new, if we could only start with the perspective of, let's look in, let's explore, instead of jumping automatically to the negative. It doesn't mean that everyone has to like the new show. Some people may not like Jim Caviezel. Some people might not like that this was done in only six. That's great. But what I don't understand is why burn the calories to begin by going at it with a negative perspective. It's fine that we don't all like the same things, but why begin the journey from a negative point way before you've made 10 minutes or two episodes in? That's what confounds me about us dear human beings, right?
I certainly agree with that. Yeah. I do.
And I will make this point. I also find it, because I think I stand by what I say. I think fans of The Prisoner are intelligent, eclectic, and they are, and I mean this, avant-garde, because it's a show that is not easily digestible. What gets me, though, is Star Trek fans, as an example, embrace, for the most part, every iteration of Star Trek. The newest version that's aired here in the U.S., I'm sorry I don't remember the name, but completely different casting, completely different visualization, and yet the Star Trek community has absolutely said this is the greatest thing in the world, just like the original, just like every variation. There's something in that group's mindset that is always more is better. But that's not necessarily the case in every cohort of folks we see. Would you agree, or am I over-dramatizing that?
You're not over-dramatizing it. You are absolutely correct. I agree with every word you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Star Trek fans, they grasp, they embrace every new concept of Star Trek.
Whether it's a book, whether it's a graphic novel, whether it's a movie, if it has the theme of Star Trek, they think it's great, and it amplifies, as they say, the universe or the world of Star Trek.
Absolutely.
Right.
I like the films they made.
Yeah.
I really enjoy those films because they got Kirk, they got Mr. Spock, mm-hmm. Chekhov.
Yeah.
They're younger versions of the original cast.
Right.
How they did that.
Well, and I will, anecdotally, I went to the first Star Trek movie with someone who had never seen any Star Trek of any ilk. She had never watched these shows. And I go and try to play down my fandom. And at the end of the movie, she looks at me, she goes, I don't care what the show's about. She goes, that was a well-made movie. She goes, I didn't know the history. She goes, but that was a well-made movie with well-drawn characters. And that's why I feel every time I discover a new book, whether it's the Prisoner Variations that you've written these stories, whether it's the people who wrote them in the 60s, I look at the Prisoner and say, what can we add to the canon? Because it doesn't take anything away from what Patrick McGoohan and all the people produced in 1966 and 67. It simply adds to it. When the audio, Big Finish audio programs were done, they're very different. But I love them because they added to the world that I believe is my little universe of the Prisoner. And that's what I try to proselytize to folks and say, listen, try some, read some, because if you love this, it's amplifying the world of what you have with these characters.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
Now, were there any things about the 2009 program that struck you as being very out of the ordinary or very different that kind of, again, expanded the universe? Because I see so many similarities between them, but there were a few things that kind of made me go, wow, we've stepped a different degree with that. Any for you?
Not really, no.
For me, it was the whole sequence of when Six goes out to the train station and finds the train station and starts digging in the sand, and there's this tangible connection to discovering these things from an earlier part of the village. I really, really like that. I also like the fact, because we have more sophisticated storytelling, that we got into the side of number two's love for his wife who's ill and all the things that he can control. He can control everyone in the village, but he cannot control her human frailty. That was fascinating to me.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The reason why two and his wife are there mm-hmm. is to have a child.
Yeah.
And that child is 11, 12.
Right.
But that child never grew up because it never existed as a child.
Right, right.
He was an adult from the beginning.
Yeah.
There's a scene where he's in the basement and he's holding a locomotive engine.
Yeah.
And 11-12 says, no, 2 comes downstairs and he said, you love that. But 11-12 has no memory of it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when village isn't enough for 11-12, then that's it.
Yeah.
He can't leave. He can't go anywhere else. And suffocates his mother to death and then commits suicide.
Right.
And then 2 knows it's all over and he gives up the village and hands it over to 6.
Right.
That's meaningful.
It's extremely meaningful. It's also intellectually connected to so many of the large stories we've ever read in our life, whether it's the Oedipus story, whether it's the idea of again, the human frailty, or the idea here that number 2 is trying to control a universe that he is not the controller of, because ultimately this is all about 6's introspective reflection on his own life. That's what drives me crazy, is I think the producers, the author, the directors, and the actors in the show did an amazing job. Even if you didn't call it The Prisoner, it deserves to be respected as a standalone performance and production because it was so well done. I mean, the fact that, as opposed to the original program, where women were either dressing or a victim, in this program, women characters are driving forces. They are moving the story along. And that's what makes it a more... It's a mosaic of characters, not just only Two's world and his existence in it.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There are some fascinating characters in the new series.
Oh, the cab driver. The cab driver.
No, 147.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what about the school teacher? 1955.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you notice anything about him and his appearance?
No, please tell.
Have you watched Danger Man?
Yes, I have.
Yep. The episode Colony 3.
Okay.
Where John Drake impersonates Robert Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
And in that character, when you look at Drake as Robert Fuller,
mm-hmm.
have a look at 1955.
Okay.
And because they are very similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what struck me. And then, of course, you've got number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, number 93 is a representation of number 6.
Right.
And number 6 was taken to the village from the village. Now, what went wrong in the old village to have him taken there? He ends up as a drunk.
Right.
And he has to be number 6 because he's the only one wearing a blazer which is representative of the original series.
With the piping, exactly.
That's right. And the cottage, that's very much of the original series.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
And when it comes to the end,
mm-hmm.
people were taken to the village who were broken.
Mm-hmm.
Something mentally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd love to do something, if it was possible, in a story and take it further.
Mm-hmm.
Because Curtis and Helen,
mm-hmm.
they created the village in Helen's mind because they wanted a child.
Mm-hmm.
They left the village because the experiment had failed. Mm-hmm. They had lost a child. Therefore, they are two broken people.
Mm-hmm.
So with 6 now head of Summer Corps,
mm-hmm.
building a new village, a better village, would Curtis and Helen end up back in the village as two people mm-hmm. who need to be mended?
Right. Would the captor suddenly become the caretaker?
That's right. And then, of course, there's another a way of looking at the next village, carrying the story on.
Yeah.
You've got 6 and 313 sitting in the desert.
Right.
313 wouldn't be dreaming the village, even though she was handed the pills.
Yeah.
It is the broken Sarah back in New York who would be dreaming the village.
Yes.
So number 6 wants to make a better village, and 313 sits there with a tear running down her cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Is she crying because she knows that number 6 can never fulfill that dream because it's Sarah who has psychological problems because of her abuse as a child mm-hmm. would be dreaming that village? So therefore, when you have help, everyone in the village eats rats.
Right.
Because M2, or Helen, her favorite food is in a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next village that Sarah is dreaming, would everyone become abused and go about wearing a cardboard box on their head?
Mm-hmm.
As Sarah does. Because that would be an awful village, and number 6 can never make a better village because he's got the wrong material to work with.
Right. And exactly.
That fascinates me.
Me too. That's why I say, please, friends and loved ones and colleagues and fraternity, give this show another chance. Look at it with an open heart and an open mind, because it is a brilliant piece of creative artistry. Whether you need it to be more aligned to Patrick McGoohan or not, let that go and give yourself the pleasure of saying, here's six more hours of entertainment that we all can have, because unbelievably dedicated, hardworking, talented and creative people gave this to us. Why not embrace, or at least open-mindedly look at what they did, because they came up with something great? No, it's not set in Port Marion. No, it's not made in 1966. No, it's not the same people, but it expands a universe of the people that we are supposed to cherish and appreciate.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Now, one digression. Go ahead, please.
One more aspect.
Yes.
Of the series.
Yes.
That both myself and my wife, Morag, we took to this series.
Mm-hmm.
And each episode left us wanting more.
Agreed.
And at the end of the last episode, the sixth episode, we wanted more.
Yeah.
And to my mind, or our mind, that is the sign of an excellent, brilliant piece of art, television.
I completely agree. And
with this series,
yeah,
less is more.
Absolutely. The mystery. Leave the mystery. Yeah. David, have you and your wife, or have you ever had the opportunity to watch the show produced in New Zealand around the same time? I believe it was 2010, maybe a tiny bit later, called This Is Not My Life.
No, I've never heard of it.
Oh, dear sir, please, 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 if you can in the UK, if it's streaming anywhere, I know here in the US, on YouTube, you can actually watch them. They're not the best quality, unfortunately. For a while, it was available on the streaming service called Hulu. And it's one of those shows where, alas, it's not available on DVD. But it was don't quote me on this, maybe 18-part program. Unbelievably well produced. Just the quality of New Zealand film production and TV is outstanding to begin with. But it is such a corollary and such an amazing, again, kindred spirit to The Prisoner. And it's called This Is Not My Life. Please try to find it, because I want to share a conversation with you about that program sometime soon.
Right. Morag's writing that title down now.
Yeah.
We'll seek it out.
Try at the most vulgar of way. Try on just YouTube to begin with. But it is stupendous in the way it creates a world, and a world in which you have, again, the fanciful and the reality crashing together. It is just marvelous, with outstanding New Zealand actors.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, we will.
Good. Well, thank you for this conversation. It is always nice to have, again, positive conversations with people about the fun things. What we'll do now is send this out to the world, and we will hope that people at least are inspired to give this show another try. And if not, we'll let people take the keyboards and call us every possible bad name they can as to why we are heretics to The Prisoner hierarchy. But for the moment, as we all say, I hope that I will be seeing you sometime soon, and that I hope that you have, as I'm recording this now, a wonderful holiday and a fantastic New Year.
Thank you, Carl.
All villagers are encouraged to share their thoughts and contributions with the Eternal Village Cast. Please send your remarks care of info@theeternalvillage.org. Until our next program, be seeing you.